better, smarter, faster. The future of connected healthcare relies on a powerful digital ecosystem and robust neural network to drive better diagnostics, intelligent operations, and seamless care anywhere. Join us as we talk to the experts about transformational roadmaps for this evolving landscape. What's working, what's needed, and how we get there together. Welcome to Healthcare on Air, presented by Verizon.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Healthcare on Air by Verizon. I'm your host, Robin Goldsmith, Global Lead for Health Innovation and Strategy here at Verizon Business. So as you can see, we're here at Vibe 2024 in Los Angeles, California. An incredible show, really a gathering of healthcare innovators, leaders, and I think I'm really excited about this next conversation because we're going to be focusing on security, why it's important for healthcare. So without further ado, Troy Amat, industry leader for Palo Alto Networks, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Robin.
It's a pleasure, and I think the timing is very ripe for this conversation.
It's always right.
It is. So tell me a little bit about you, your fairly new role at Palo Alto, and you know, kind of what you're looking at Palo Alto.
Yeah, no, excited about my new role. I've been in healthcare most of my career, but mostly on the customer side. Yeah. So transitioned just in the last few years from 20 plus years on the customer side. I was a chief information security officer at two of the largest health systems in the U.S. Now bringing that to my new role here at Palo, and couldn't be more excited about the engagement that I have with customers, our go-to-market strategy, our product strategy, and, you know, just really diving in with each one of our customers, looking at their cyber challenges, looking at emerging threats that are changing every single week.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time.
Absolutely. Well, let's start. So you, I think it's fascinating because you 20 years on the provider side. I know you worked at Sanford for a lot of years.
Yeah.
So, you know, given that experience coming from the provider side to a technology company, what made you make that transition?
Yeah. So I get to see a different customer or multiple customers every single day, right? So it's a new challenge every day, multiple challenges every day that I get to help out customers. And I get to solve inside and outside of the provider space. So I can be in the payer space or the connected medical space, which connected medical specifically is a big passion of mine. I've, you know, worked on Capitol Hill for many years with regard to setting policy and direction, giving guidance to the challenges that we were having as practitioners in healthcare, and really streamlining or setting forth some of the policy that we've seen come to light over the last year. Now we're doing that on the provider side even more, right? Emerging threats are affecting clinical operations. So my role here at Palo is really to evangelize that within the organization, help out our teams and other companies solve for their security challenges, and provide that thought leadership.
Yeah. You know, it's I'm very privileged. I get to work with a lot of health systems across the country. I'd love to hear your perspective. I mean, I think compared to the finance industry and retail, why is it that the providers are just so much in the news these days? I mean, it's unfortunately seeing ransomware attacks, DDoS attacks, more and more. It seems like every week someone's being taken down by these attacks. Why is it, you know, why is it so much in the news these days? And what can providers really do to, what should they be thinking about with the ever-evolving threats?
Yeah, you know, so providers are in an interesting spot. So before I was a CISO at Sanford Health, I helped lead our Epic implementations, right? So we did digital transformation for many, many years. You know, bringing that digital transformation was changing workflows for physicians. And those workflows are integrated into the operations now. That secure, or that those technologies are ultra important for every workflow within the patient environment, everything from admitting a patient all the way to discharge. So now what we're seeing is the adversaries are looking at that scale of digital transformation and seeing opportunity. You know, we talk about ransomware. They know that if they target a large multi-billion dollar health system, shut down their operations so that they're not able to, you know, one, provide great patient care, which is core to all of their missions. But then two, a significant impact to the revenue, significant impact to their brand. Healthcare systems compared to financial services is much different, much more complex, much more different operating environments, a lot of technology debt. So that compounded with the adversaries starting to understand their operations and their backend systems is creating a target.
Yeah. What are the, you know, we hear about, you know, social engineering a lot, which is kind of something I learned about recently. What do you see as like the biggest threats that are taking down health systems, even back to, you know, pen and paper in some cases just to keep the shop running. What are you seeing is like the biggest trend that's happening with these events?
Yeah, you know, so the adversaries in the last couple of years have really increased their sophistication. And I think what most of our, you know, health systems are seeing now is they're taking that sophistication and the adversaries are adding automation on top of that. So now they've got the sophisticated attacks, which are very hard to stop, especially when they're, you know, executed by nation state organizations. On top of that, you add automation. So last year, attacks were down, sophistication was up. This year, we're seeing the same sophisticated attacks, but the automation adding a whole nother level of number of attacks.
Yeah, it's daunting. I was just thinking about, you mentioned medical devices. I think we're adding more and more devices into you know, hospital environments. And we're also, you know, from the rise of wearables and, you know, pacemakers and medical devices in the home. I mean, to use kind of your terminology, those are windows for bad actors, right? They can be hacked. They're just another entry points that need to be secured. Mm-hmm. And with the rise of all these new access points, you know, how do you and Palo Alto kind of help secure those kind of environments?
Well, I think it starts with understanding that environment, right? Our team is very dedicated to healthcare. We've got practitioners across the board along our engineering team that deeply understand those workflows and those new devices. Now, what's really important to that end is this transformation that health systems continue to do with bringing new devices or bringing new partners. Third-party risk is certainly a significant challenge for organizations.
So many vendors,
so many different connected medical devices. So having a really strong third-party risk assessment program, and then layering on top what I would consider foundational security practices that are done in and out of every security project, things like multi-factor authentication, defense in depth. But to that end, I think the biggest transformation that we're seeing at Palo Alto Networks now is really building on top of a platform, much less point-based solutions, and moving to a platform approach and making things much more simple.
Yeah.
That's where our customers are having the success. That's what they're demanding, and that's what we're bringing to market.
Mm. Is a lot of the work you do is kind of educating those folks. You know, I think a lot of these threats happen from phishing and, you know, vishing and now QR phishing. Those are all, and I think it's a lot of like internal folks, even, you know, I know Verizon, we do a lot of training on what, how to identify it. But as these, you mentioned it, these are getting more advanced. You've got AI coming in that's going to make it even more challenging. How are you kind of educating the workforces and putting in place, you know, systems and protocols to align with this ever-evolving threat landscape?
Yeah, so we're educating our customers every day on what health systems are experiencing when they have a breach. We go in and do tabletop exercises and show them the pain points of what it really looks like when the bad stuff happens, right? And then we back that up to where they're having success and where they've got challenges and need to remediate. You know, so I would say that's first, but we always lead with example. We lead with what we've seen in the marketplace and provide great threat intelligence with our Unit 42 and evangelize that to all of our customers from a threat intelligence perspective.
Gotcha. So, you know, one of the themes here is AI, and I think there's definitely with AI for, you know, clinical diagnosis and you know, culling all the data and providing good insight. I think AI for any other kind of any industry, how it can alleviate the back office chores that docs have to do that is attributing to burnout and you know, lack of retention. I think that's super positive. But on the flip side, AI is also, you know, gonna advance the security threats. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think organizations that have a solid risk-based model within their organizations that are looking at any project, whether it's AI or something that they're doing from a genomics perspective, to really understand what their business model is and their workflows, where their data is flowing, and protecting those workloads, protecting that AI model, because the second that an AI model is compromised, no one's going to trust it, right? And that same brand reputation is going to come back to be a challenge if it, God forbid, affects patient care or patient safety, right? On the other side of AI, though, I think it's an opportunity for cybersecurity teams. My former teams would be much more efficient reducing, you know, some of the mundane, repetitive tasks that they used to do. So really accelerating, I think, from an automation perspective is where we see AI playing on the threat hunter side. So on the good guy side, you know, fighting back, it might be an opportunity for us to get one more step ahead or evening the score. But I will not underestimate, you know, if I'm a CISO of any health system out there, I am looking at AI as certainly an area that our organization needs to think about keenly before implementing, right? Think about, because the adversaries are, they've already shown and they've already demonstrated that any new transformation, they're going to look at that and they're going to see, is there an opportunity for me to affect that clinical workflow?
Yeah. Troy, it was funny. I was having a conversation with a gentleman last night who's been in security a long, long time. And he's like, you know, security is now kind of the cool kid at the table because it's so valuable. And I think being at this conference, when it comes to security, do you think that is the leading trend you're seeing at the conference? Or I know AI, and I'd love to see kind of what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Anything.
I think AI definitely from a clinical perspective wants to be the talk of the show, but the talk of the show is definitely cybersecurity, right? There's no doubt about it. Week after week, I'm exposed to a different scenario or a different news headline of, you know, maybe a children's hospital or maybe a different type of organization that's significantly impacted. And there's multiple organizations, but there's big headlines week after week with regard to healthcare cybersecurity attacks. And, you know, I think the practitioners out there are trying to do a really good job. I think the thing that I'm really excited about is we're seeing great things from a policy perspective, some enhancements to connected medical device security, and I think some genuine support for better funding for cybersecurity teams to fund their mission and to become one more step ahead.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, you know, the pool of money that, you know, hospitals have finite money and assets, and they've got to prioritize, you know, devices to deliver care, that's going to probably prioritize a lot. But I'm assuming now from your position at Sanford on the provider side, that those budgets are getting more and more attention because the ramifications of having a breach, if you don't spend the money to secure your networks and those endpoint devices.
Yeah, it's all integrated, right? So if you're spinning up a new cardiology program, which could be really important to, you know, one of your outlying communities that doesn't have cardiology, balancing the risk versus the patient benefit is something that certainly is on the table, right? Certainly there's a lot of benefit of having a new next generation cardiology program in an underserved community. Will that, you know, maybe introduce some risk to the organization? Maybe, but managed correctly, you know, I think it can be done well.
Yeah. I meant to ask you, because you come, you know, Sanford is a huge health system serving a lot of rural, you know, healthcare. And I'm sure a lot of the patient population had to drive extended, distances to get to care. I mean, you're multi-state system. I'm curious kind of your view on, you know, this move to more and more, you know, care being delivered in the home and how security kind of is a necessity for that new care delivery model.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's some of the great things from a technology perspective is we're seeing organizations, you've mentioned Sanford, my old organization, really investing deeply into virtual care, you know, potentially a hospital or care at home, all things that have happened through, you know, things like home care and those types of traditional offerings. Things 5G, right, that gets me so excited, whether that's embedded into connected medical devices and potentially some new opportunities there. But then backup connectivity for some of these outlying clinics, huge differentiator. I wish it was a tool in my tool chest before. We think about how we position SASE and having resiliency there and better connectivity, but then also, you know, remote radiologists. So remote radiologists can be anywhere. It's a differentiator when your organization has a tool set that they can use and have physicians, you know, for recruiting across any geography, right? Virtual.
Absolutely. And extending that expertise because we have a, you know, the staffing shortages that everyone's facing. We can, you know, give a doctor the option or a nurse to extend their expertise to a more, you know, bigger geographic area. That's a win for everybody and deliver expert care where it's needed to underserved communities, rural folks. So, Troy, we covered a lot and I really appreciate you taking time out to be with us today. I think security is the thing to be talking about at this show, given the news we've had recently. So thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah, thank you, Robin.
All right, Troy. And thank you for watching. This has been Healthcare on Air by Verizon live from Vive in LA, California. Until next time, you can access all of our content on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Until next time, take care.